We bless you, Master. Laviam rojo sashon amagliam roto koson. For you alone are holy. You alone are worthy. And you deserve the glory. And we call on the name above all names, Jesus, who will answer us and show us great and mighty things. Oh, sweet wind. Father, we come to you and we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction. As we repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, touching unclean things, being rebellious, boneheaded, and stubborn, trying to do it our way instead of your way. Lord, we repent and we ask for your strength that we may turn from those things that displease you. As we welcome the Holy Spirit to take your rightful place, filling us with your Spirit that we may be one with you and establishing your kingdom in us and through us, bringing revival to the body of Christ, bringing revival to the land, and bringing revival to the hearts of your people. As we speak peace, blessing, salvation, and protection to Jerusalem and Israel and your Jewish people. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day to die to yourself. Hallelujah! How's everybody today? Blessed and highly flavored. God is good all the time, isn't he? He always makes a way of escape. And man, we sure do need it sometimes, don't we? Oh, glory, glory. Would you turn to Psalm 19, please? Psalm 19. If you don't have a Bible, we have some, and we gladly share it with you. Because the Word of God is true. And the Word of God is three-dimensional. The author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. So you got to be in the Spirit to be able to read the Bible. Now, the Bible is written for believers. Because most unbelievers can't understand the Bible. But if you really think about it, it's an opportunity as the Word of God comes forth and penetrates into your spirit. It should always draw you towards God more and more and more. You know, the Bible tells us that the letter kills and the spirit brings life. So if you're really reading the Bible, you're not just reading the Bible, you're understanding that it's the Word of God and it becomes food to you. It becomes life to you. You change. But without the Holy Spirit, it's difficult to understand the Bible. That's why you invite the Holy Spirit all the time when you're doing something or anything, basically. He's a potter of your life. He is the Spirit of Christ that Jesus left for me and you. He is our mentor. He is our teacher. He is our comforter. He'll guide us all truth and tell us things to come. He'll visit you in dreams and visions. And of course, he does that when you're not listening. And he does that just out of surprise sometimes. But without the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to live a Christ-like life. And in this, as we search the Word and go deep into the Word of God that was written for us by the Holy Spirit, it tells us things of past, present, or future. So we must be in the Spirit to discern what he's speaking of, past, present, or future. Now turn to Psalm 19. Would you all read it starting at verse 1? It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." Now, this is very powerful because what he's saying, listen, the heavenlies declare the glory of God and who God is. God has expressed himself through creation. He's expressed himself through creation and what he has created. And by doing so, he's also left a message because it says, day unto day utters speech, but night unto night reveals knowledge. Now, this knowledge is called divine information. Divine information. Everybody say divine information. How many of y'all know we need divine information? Man, we need divine information daily. Why? Because it keeps us in divine position. Divine information is called revelation. It's revealing. And we definitely need divine information. And it says here that night on tonight reveals knowledge or divine information. Well, the divine information that reveals at night not only is in dreams and visions that God visits you, but it's also in the heavenlies where the 12 constellations are. The 12 constellations are the arena that it begins with Virgo and ends with Leo, 12. The number 12 meaning divine government. And in this divine government God has established, it states with the virgin birth is Virgo, who will produce and have a son, and he will become the Lion of Judah. So the whole area of the 12 constellations is a story or the mystery or the written truth in the heavenlies of the life of God Almighty who will come as Christ into the realm. Does everybody understand? Let's go a little further. It says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Now we notice here that he talks about the sun that brings heat to the earth. Now God is expressing himself again, not only through his creation, but through the word of God that correlates with what God has done. And we know that it says the sun. Well, the sun here represents the Son of God. The moon represents Lucifer or Satan, who's always trying to copy the Son of God. But he's a counterfeit, isn't he? That's why he's known as the night person, right? Usually wickedness, people who serve Satan, they do their works at night. The Bible says they can't rest until they commit a wickedness. Now let's go a little further. It says in verse 5, which is like a bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. Coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. In other words, nothing can be hidden from God. It states something very powerful. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Is that divine information? Yes. These are all areas of divine information. The testimony of the Lord, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. These are all divine information. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. So what's more to be desired than gold? Divine information. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than any honey in the honeycomb. And moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them there is great reward. So this divine information that God reveals to me and you, we are warned to not only seek it, but to maintain it. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, and let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So again, we are warned of the importance to seek and maintain divine information or revelation. Does everybody see this? There is a reward, isn't there? Hosea 4:6. I think we know the scripture by now, but just in case for some that don't know it. Hosea 4:6. Would you read it with me? My people are destroyed for lack of what? What's that mean? Divine information. Hello. My people are destroyed for lack of divine information. Now this is information that comes from the other side. And because you have rejected this divine information, I also reject you from being priests for me. A priest is the first office that we are to fulfill. As a believer, priesthood is the first office to fulfill. And he says, you cannot become my priest unless you accept my divine information. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, which is also divine information, I also will forget your what? Children. So people are destroyed for lack of divine information. And those that reject divine information pass that rejection to their children, and they are rejected. Is everybody all right? Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. In verse 10. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Quickly. Matthew 13, verse 10. Would you read it with me? And the disciples came and said to him, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because they have been given to you to know the what? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Do you realize the awesomeness that God has chosen us to reveal divine information known as the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Do you remember when you didn't know anything and you thought you knew it all? Hello? Yeah, we were a bunch of I know-it-alls. But praise God, as we began to learn and get divine information, we realized that we didn't know nothing. And man, were we deceived, because we thought we knew it all. Hallelujah. And he says, but it's been granted to me and you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That is divine information. And verse 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. Wow. The awesomeness that God has allowed us to see and hear. To have divine information. To know the truth. You know, the world walks around wanting to know who they are, why they're here, and where they're going. And to know the truth, to know why you're here, where you're going, who you are, is divine information in itself, isn't it? And to reject this thing is so stupid. It's ridiculous. To reject it is dangerous and death. To reject it is to open ourselves to the demonic forces of evil. To be used and abused by demonic forces of evil, to be deceived and to be used by them to increase their kingdom by rejecting this divine information. Many people rejected Jesus when he came. What better divine information could you get? All wrapped up in one body. The anointed one, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty all came in one body. Oh, hallelujah. So it's been granted to me and you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, which are divine information. Proverbs 4. Verse 31. Yeah, right. Let's try Proverbs 3, okay? Some things just never change. Proverbs 3, verse 31. Would you read it with me? Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. But his secret counsel is with what? What's the secret counsel? Divine information. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. What's grace? God's plan of escape from the deception of the devil and from the wrath of God. But the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the legacy of fools who reject divine information. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Would you read it with me? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, or the what? Divine information of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the divine information of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge or the divine information of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now this is powerful because he said it's available to everyone. Now he says, verse 9, for he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more what? Diligent, or more focused. Be more diligent or more focused to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, whoa-ho, never what? Stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see here this divine information, which is eternal truth, brings a divine power, character, promises, and a divine nature, and an entrance to the eternal realm, because this divine information is the will of God. This divine information is the will of God. Go to Matthew 24. In verse 3. Is everybody there? Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and when will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. I think that's everybody's kind of like desires to know exactly what's going on. In fact, if you begin to step back and look at all the movies, all the information, internet, all kinds of things that are happening, that it's expressing change. Change. I mean, such a change. and an area of change of things coming to an end. An area of things changing to where freedom is threatened, even in this country, to be taken. There is a threatening change. There is a fearful change. There's an economic change. There is a global change. There is a weather change. And we need more change. Cash. No. But in these changes, we must discern God's time and seasons so that we are updated and positioned. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So what do you think? You think God's trying to release some divine information so we know what's going on? I'm telling you, you know all of these movies. They're all talking about end times. There's destruction, global economy, all of these things that God is even using in the secular realm to express what's happening. You turn on the news and see what's going on. In verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be what? Famines. Is there famines right now? Oh, big time. Is there pestilence? Yeah, H1N1 right now, right? And the swine flu. And earthquakes in various places that are earthquakes, tsunamis, all kinds of areas. Increased more than ever. I said, all these things are the beginning of sorrows, which we are almost finished with the beginning of sorrows. The next event is tribulation, and then great tribulation. Let's go a little further. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be what? So we need endurance, don't we? Well, what's going to help your endurance? Divine information. And this gospel, what's the gospel? Divine information. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be what? Great tribulation. So we've got the beginning of sorrows, tribulation, which will be 3.5 years, and then great tribulation, which will be 3.5 years, which will be known as Jacob's trouble. Then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. How many of y'all want to go through that? Praise God. Then you better make sure you're in position. Or you don't get a bus ticket. And unless those days were shortened, how many of y'all know the days have been shortened? Come on, things are flying by, man. No flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look here, it is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So in this area, we can see that God is talking about, in this prophecy, the importance of being awake and getting divine information so we can be spiritually positioned and maintained, so that we know what is updated. Remember, the Spirit tells us things to come. He guides us to all truth, doesn't He? And He'll comfort us. And there's something important He talks about in verse 15. He said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet of Daniel. And I want to go there in Daniel 11. And this will be the transition between tribulation and great tribulation. And most likely is the place where the rapture or the removal of the church will occur. And the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and verse 29. Now let's start at 28 first. It says, while returning to his land with great riches, his heart will be moved against the what? Holy covenant. Now who might this be? The Antichrist, right? Satan's kingdom. Or somebody Satan's using, right? And so he shall do damage and return to his own land. At the appointed time he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. In other words, he'll show favor to them. Those who will be swayed to come his way. The Bible says, in the latter days, many will depart from the faith. And these are individuals who will depart from the faith because they've already had a holy covenant with the Lord. And forces shall be mustered by him, who is the devil. And they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place their what? Abomination of desolation. And those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with what? Flattery. Sound familiar? But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out what? Great exploits. So you know your God, then you won't be deceived because you have divine information. You will be led by the Spirit and updated what's going on. And if you're not, I encourage you to get plugged into a place that is letting you know. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Why? Because they will have divine information. Yet for many days they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. In other words, that's going to be a harvest. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for an appointed time. Then the king shall do accordingly to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. This will be known as Great Tribulation. And before a Great Tribulation can happen, there will be a treaty or a covenant that will be signed. Go to Daniel 9. Now the reason for this divine information today is to keep us focused and alert. Everyone say focused and alert. The Bible says be sober and be vigilant. And the release of this divine information today is important to keep us focused and alert. And in Daniel 9, verse 25, would you read it with me, please? Now, therefore, and understand, this is what the angel of the Lord was speaking to Daniel. Now, therefore, and understand that from the beginning forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. Now, we've got all of this information. I'm not going to get into all of this, but you can look at the table over there and pick up information. And it talks about Israel's troubles and so forth, and about the 70 weeks. And verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, his time will end here on the earth. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he, who is the devil, shall confirm a covenant with many for what? 1 week, which is 7 years. This is where the great tribulation, or what we call tribulation, will start. 3.5 years will be tribulation, and 3.5 years will be great tribulation. So I want you to understand that right now, as being alert and focused, we are looking at an area and focusing on an area for a treaty to be signed. Has everybody got it? It says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, which is 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. Now, in the middle of the 7 years is where the desolation shall appear. Well, he will stop the sacrifice and offering and proclaim himself as God in the holy temple. So for the first 3.5 years, there'll be a sense of false prosperity. Everything will be lied to. And then he will proclaim himself as God in the temple, and it will start great tribulation for 3.5 years. In other words, but this whole thing started because of a 7-year treaty of peace that was been signed. And it says, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to the sacrifices and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. In other words, great tribulation. In other words, the time of Messiah on the earth ended. Of course, we know he will return. And then a 7-year treaty or a covenant will supposedly bring peace, but it's going to be a false peace. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is because we know that we've already gone through. We're almost done with the beginning of sorrows. The next event that will start is called tribulation. And then great tribulation. And tribulation is going to start with a 7-year treaty. It's going to be a treaty. Now, I hope we didn't miss it. But I don't believe that we have. But I believe that there's going to be treaties that are going to come up, that are going to be signed. And it might not be an area where we might know exactly that it's going to be a 7-year. But there'll be treaties that are going to be signed. The purpose is to bring peace and unity. And it'll be signed by our government. Now, I bring this up because the area that we must be alert and what? Focused. Alert and focused and be ready. Why? Because the world needs to know what's going on. Because those of the secular world are blinded. They do not understand these things. Divine information has not been released to them because they keep rejecting it. But we must be ready to declare divine information to those who do not know. It is our responsibility. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel, if we don't warn them, the blood is on our hands. So that's why God is speaking through TV and many other things in the secular realm about an end coming of some sort. There's another powerful movie coming out called 2012. All kinds of things are coming. People are prophesying. They're showing on every week, even Notre Dame has prophesied about all of these things that are happening. But it's already written in the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi. I mean, it's all in this book of what's happening right now. If you'll read it, you'll find it. So it's our responsibility to seek truth or divine information to know where we're at. Now, I was, I was an individual that was never interested in government. In fact, I was always running from it, but I was always trying to hide from it. But, since I had been saved and realized where we are, and, even for the first 10 or 12 years of my life as a believer, I began to see more and more and more. But just recently, I've been really seeking, because the Lord has just been visiting me in dreams and visions and warning me and telling me, Guy, listen, the time of the end is here. I'm coming soon, and you must warn my people. And so I've began to watch more and more of the news and see other things. And, of course, the Holy Spirit told me what news to watch and what news not to watch, because many of us just want nothing but stinking lies. And it's not about politics in the area, Republican or Democrat or Independent. It's about truth. It's all about truth and who is declaring truth and what's happening. And, again, I want to share that this treaty is what we need to be looking for. What treaty is it? Where is it coming from? How is this going to happen? How is it going to occur? And it's going to be a peace treaty, isn't it? Now, we know that right now we see that there's an economic problem, not only here but globally. And all kinds of things are happening where people are running to the government for help, unfortunately, instead of running to the Lord. But that's why God's arms are wide open. People are fearful of losing what they've had and materialism and so forth and leaving things for their children. And what's the next thing that's going to happen? And that's why it's so important to be in the Spirit so that we get divine information and get comforted. So there's I was searching the news and certain things came up, and I ran across something, and it's called the Copenhagen Treaty, which is going to be in December of this year. And there was this man that was given testimony on it, and his name is Lord Christopher Monken, something like that. And he is a weather climate change expert, and he began to do research. And his results said such findings are incorrect. He said, but there's something that he began to reveal, is that there was an agenda or a plan behind all of this. He said it would be used to manipulate mankind. So, as my antennas went up, I began to search this further. And you can find this on the website at globalclimatescam.com. And there's many things that are out there, you know, and people contradict you, this, that, and whatever, but you got to be led by the Spirit to discern these things. And one of the things that was brought forth is that the purpose of this treaty is three functions to accomplish. And the first function it wants to accomplish in this treaty, which it will accomplish, is one world government. Even though it's supposed to be an area where a man believes that it's just supposed to be some kind of climate treaty. But its purpose is to establish a one world order government. Its second purpose is to transfer wealth. And its third purpose is to enforce a law, global law. And in these laws, there'll be no more elections. There'll be no more democracy. All under a false peace treaty, a false peace pretense. Of course, the Nobel Peace Prize winner will want to sign this law. And it will relinquish all constitutional freedom, democracy, and prosperity. And this is what has been uncovered. And this is one of the treaties. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you that this is going to be the main treaty, the 7-year treaty. But I can tell you again that it is our responsibility to be alert and focused of what's happening. And you can look this up on a website under this gentleman. In fact, he was on the news. I believe I saw it the other day. And then I got an email from, I think Angela sent me an email too on it, and in confirmation. But these are our responsibilities to research these. Remember, God said, my people are destroyed for lack of divine information. We are at a critical time. Critical. And we are to be alert and focused. Why? Because the next event will be tribulation. And then 3.5 years after that will be great tribulation. And we are there. Very, very close. So we are looking for a treaty to be signed. So I encourage you to search it through. Whether this is delayed, because I know that many are trying to delay it right now. And trying to get a hold of their congressmen and put the requests in and sign petitions and so forth. And but when you begin to understand, so here we thought that this is just going to be some kind of climate meeting with, I think it's 160 nations or something like that. And but it's all about turning over and signing an agreement of one world order and relinquishing the constitutional rights of this country. Our freedom is at stake right now, and I encourage you to pray hard. Seek truth. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is all prophesied in the book of Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Everybody okay? And verse 1, would you read it with me, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say what? Peace and safety. Now, what's going to be signed? It's going to be a peace treaty, isn't it? For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, or be alert and focused. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sakes. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. And I'm going to close at Daniel 12. Daniel chapter 12. So we are not accounted for the wrath, are we? That's why the rapture is going to rescue us. Thank God. Daniel 12. And verse 1. Let's read it together. And at that time, Michael, who's Michael? The archangel Michael, shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble, or Israel. This is known as the 7-year tribulation. And there shall be trouble such as never was since there was a nation. So that means Israel had to become a nation, doesn't it? And it was a nation in 1948. And at that time your people will be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book of life. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In other words, divine information will increase. Not only will technology and the world increase, but divine information will increase. There'll be more revelation. There'll be more visitations. God will rescue more and more people and grant them visitations in the area where they can tell others what they've seen, what they know, and others can pass that message on. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this side of the riverbank and one on the other riverbank. And the one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and in his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half time. That means 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be what? Finished. That will be because of the wrath of God. That will be called great tribulation. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days, which is 3.5 years. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way to the end, for you shall rest and will rise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Oh, hallelujah. In this we share, because the end is an area when he speaks at the end, it's known as the end of grace. The end of grace. And in this end of grace, it's the area where God holds back his judgment. In other words, he's given everybody an opportunity. In other words, while Noah was building the ark, it was considered like the age of grace. But nobody believed Noah, did they? And then the ark was lifted up by water. Well, the body of Christ will be lifted up and removed from the earth. And the wrath of God will hit this earth. And great tribulation will come forth. So we want to be focused and alert. Be ready in season and out. Because the book of Daniel will come to pass, whether people believe it or not. Amen? So be awake, be alert, be focused, and be ready. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We are honored and blessed. We ask for your constant counsel, correction, and direction to be led by your Spirit with revelation, divine information. Quicken us to every area, Lord. Don't let us miss those things, that we may be prepared to receive and to warn. For we are your servants, committing to you our lives. Lord, let the seed be protected to grow, bear fruit for your glory, and prosper, that your name will be glorified forever and ever. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.